And we are finally back with another episode of the MDM podcast. Joe Morales and who else? Trevor Markowski, back with you for the first time since it's got to be December or something like that. And what a time to finally get back into it for the summer, right in the thick of the Subway Series, the Yankees and Mets trending two totally different directions. We'll get into all of that in just a bit, but we have to reintroduce the one and only Trevor Markowski. Trevor, like I said, it's been 6 months since the last time we did one of these? What's going on, man? What have we missed in the life of Trevor Markowski?
Finished my first year of college.
Bingo. Amen.
So got through it. Yeah, it's been too long, and it's just really glad to be back. I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, there's a lot to catch up on. Like I said, we're in the middle of the Subway Series, but we haven't talked on the phone, at least. We text all the time, but we haven't talked since the Giants win a road playoff game, since the Lakers go on one of these magical playoff runs where I'm sure you're thinking, oh, maybe we're making it to the NBA Finals, and in a very weak Eastern Conference, maybe we can sneak out an NBA Finals win. But none of those things really happened, at least for the Lakers' sake. So before we get to the Yankees and the Mets, because the NBA Finals wrapped up 2 days ago, the Stanley Cup's all done, give me your thoughts on the Lakers' season and how the NBA Finals played out.
Well, I think for the Lakers, it's one of these very ups and down seasons, to say the least, to put it nicely. I
mean, yeah.
They start out 2-10, and what Coach Ham did to make all those trades, to get rid of Westbrook and his key players, and to go on a run after, in the playing game, they didn't look like, they beat the Wolves, but they didn't look like they were going to be impressive and beat anybody good.
No.
And to beat the Grizzlies on the road, they were not home court advantage. They beat the Warriors, who were also not home court advantage. You know, to get to the Western Conference Finals, they ran into a Denver team who was very, very good. But to go all the way to the Western Conference Finals after a 2-10 start, and even the middle of the season, I mean, I think it was not a bad season in general, and I got to give Coach Ham a lot of credit for regrouping after that terrible start, making it that far.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's an unbelievable job. And like I said, the Western Conference was the powerhouse this year, especially as the Eastern Conference playoffs rolled on. You see Milwaukee out in the first round. I mean, a shock to me and a shock to everybody. Boston out in the Eastern Conference semifinals. You had teams like the Knicks making runs. Of course, the Heat made the run to the NBA Finals. It kind of felt like this all year that a team in the Western Conference might sneak up and if the opportunity presented itself, were to claim the NBA title. And that's what we got with a team like the Denver Nuggets. I mean, it's awesome to see a guy like Jokic win the NBA Finals. And just he's a likable guy. And I was looking up on the ratings of the NBA Finals. You know, these games this year overlapped last year's finals with the Celtics and Warriors in it, which at least it was shocking to me. Did it seem like that to you?
It was, because you had two named teams.
Yeah.
And somebody made a point that the two conference finals, there was a rematch of the bubble Final Four too, because it was the same four teams.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think of that. That's true. But yeah, the Heat were in it. The Lakers were. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
It wasn't the final, because the Heat did win the Eastern Conference Finals again, like
yes.
They did. This time it was just a different Western Conference team, but it was a rematch of the same four teams.
You know what that goes to show, though, and this, I mean, it kind of does. Eric Spoelstra is the league's best coach, and there's no doubt about it. The way he's been able to rally this team, which, let's call it like it is, maybe they're not the most talented in the regular season, but for him to flip a switch and turn this on in the playoffs, it's pretty remarkable, is it not?
It is, and just to, you know, the way, like, and remember the Heat, I believe they lost their first playing game.
They did. Yes, they did.
So they had to win a second game to get in. And, you know, it was just remarkable.
Yeah.
Joe, I want to tell us, how about your Nets? I mean, they had, they had a very wild season two with a lot of swings. I mean, they were not without their drama, too.
Were you shocked with the drama, though? Because, I mean, listen, let me tell you. There were points of this year where, I mean, it was a true roller coaster. It was a point of the year where I remember the game right, it was the game Kevin Durant got hurt. I remember they're in Miami, and the Nets actually won the game. But it was the night Kevin Durant went down. And leading up to that game, I was like, oh, wow, this is a team that really can compete for an NBA championship. They can make an NBA Finals appearance. And then Kevin Durant goes down, and you kind of knew this was going to happen. I mean, I would tell you this. I told this when James Harden was traded here. I told you this when the Nets really first started to establish this big three core, that this is a ticking time bomb, Trevor. With the personalities on the team, you knew this was going to happen. It was only a matter of time. It was if, I'm losing my words here. It was if not, or not if, but when. There you go. I finally got that one. That's what it felt like to me. And I know it felt like that for you too. And I got to be honest with you. I loved watching the big three when they played in the very few games they played in. But when Durant was shipped out, when Kyrie was shipped out, I got to be honest with you, Trevor. It was like a big weight was lifted off my shoulders. I can't lie to you. And I had a great time watching Mikal Bridges, who I think is going to be a superstar in this town for years to come. And also, I mean, do you see this, Trevor? That Dame is trying to get his way here. I know Chris Paul's having some issues in Phoenix. The Nets might be building this thing back up around Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously in the playoffs, they're really up against it, you know, against Philly.
I was not expecting them to win that. But, you know, I was hoping they'd be a little more competitive than they were. I mean, a lot of those games, they got swept, first of all. A lot of those games were just not competitive. They weren't in the games, but also, they weren't as talented as Philly. I wanted to think that, yeah, this was a team that might make some noise. You know, they're a fun team. The fans really rallied around them, too. This did not feel like the Big Three team. It was a completely different mindset with us, at least, because they were so fast and energetic, and they really seemed like they cared to be there, which got the fans really excited. But like in a series against Philly, they just didn't compete. You can't compete with a team like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting offseason. Do they go after a big star? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, if Dame wants to be here, which I don't know if there's any merit to it. I know he's alluding to it. I don't know if there's any truth to it. I'll believe it when I see it. But they're going to have to build this thing back up from the ground. But you have a great, great cornerstone with Mikal Bridges now. I really did love watching him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly we'll see the Eastern Conference players. I mean, there's already talk about Harden leaving the Eastern Conference. So that's certainly, I mean, is he going
to... Let me ask you a question. I'm sorry. Do you blame him after what's going on in Philly right now?
No, I don't. I'm not sure if Houston's going to be the team he winds up with.
No,
I'm not sure.
I don't. No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, maybe he's going out to Los Angeles with your boys.
I would, over the rumors, I would take him. I mean, you know, certainly the rumors with Kyrie Irving, I would definitely not.
Dude, I wouldn't touch. I'm warning you, dude. I wouldn't touch him with a 50-foot pole.
I wouldn't either. I would try and, if you're going to go down that route, I would try and get more role players and re-sign.
Yes. I mean, did you see what happened with Kyrie Irving in Dallas, dude? That made me smile from ear to ear. Made me smile, dude.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Dallas re-signs him?
They probably will. They gave up a lot to get him. I think they probably will. But he's a disaster, Trevor. You watched him night in and night out when he was a Brooklyn Net. The guy is a disaster.
Hmm? I mean, I would like to know, how many did the Big Three ever play more than 30 games together?
I don't think so. I think the number was 14. I'm talking on the top of my head right now. I think it was 14. I have to double check. I think it was around that. No more than 20. I know that. No more than 20. Which is shocking. I mean, come on. You got to admit, that was a team that was going to win an NBA championship. It was going to.
Yeah, I mean, that game 7, Milwaukee beat him.
Yeah, well, Durant's foot on the line, that whole thing. I will never forget that night. Never forget that night. But yeah. But yeah, Trevor, the NBA. Let me ask you one more question about this, okay? And I know you're not the biggest hockey guy. Which one was more surprising to you? Denver winning or Vegas winning?
Probably Vegas.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, in hockey, we had another, you know, Eastern Conference, you know, magical one with Florida.
From Florida, yeah, same place, Southern Florida. You know what it is, too? I'll briefly speak on this, and it's the same thing with both teams from South Florida. They got hot at the right time, and they ran out of gas in the championship. That's really all there is to it. Same thing with the Heat, right? They ran out of gas when it mattered. And you know what it is? When you don't have the talent of your opponent, that's going to happen. You're eventually going to run out of gas, and that's what happened with these two teams.
I mean, they beat a lot of good teams. I mean, they beat Boston, they beat Carolina.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. They had a very good run, and we'll see what the offseason brings for the Florida Panthers and the Miami Heat, who, like I said, have the best coach in the NBA with Eric Spoelstra. But yeah, Trevor, that's a good segue. So go ahead.
The one thing I would say is really disappointing for, you know, Boston sports, the Celtics, who were good, get knocked out, and then the Bruins, who had a historical regular season, lose. of the playoffs. I mean, that's just, you know, I was shocked when the Bruins lost that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was a team that was the best team in NHL history. And for them to lay down like they did to the Florida Panthers, a team that barely squeaked their way into the playoffs, but eventually did go on to the Stanley Cup run that, you know, we just saw. That was not something that I was expecting. And not in, you know, nobody expected that. That was the best team in NHL history. And for them to go down like that was pretty bad. That was pretty embarrassing for the Boston fans. And then it doesn't make it any better that they fall to the Heat also. So, yeah, like you said, a rough time to be a Boston sports fan. I love it, Trevor. Personally, I love when the Boston sports suck and they experience heartbreak like this.
Well, I don't like the Celtics, honestly. But I got nothing against the Bruins. I know as a Ranger fan.
Oh, yeah. And we're not even going to talk about the Rangers. Don't even get me started with that one. That was a...
Well, it was a good coaching hire. That's all awesome.
Yes, I like the coaching hire. Yes, yes. And they have to... I don't even want to get started on it. But there's a lot more work to do than what you think there's to do. I'll leave it at that because there's a lot going on there. But go ahead.
And that's a pretty good season for them.
Dude, it wouldn't shock me if the Devils, first of all, win the Cup next year, but have multiple Stanley Cup wins within the next 5 years. That's how good they look, and that's how good that they're coached and how well they're built. Once they get a goalie, I know that Connor Hellebuck up there in Winnipeg is trying to get himself out, and the Devils might be in a bidding war with Edmonton to see what goes on there, but the Devils can find themselves a goalie. They are going to win multiple Cups within the next 5 years. That's the way they're built, and that's the way they looked in the playoffs. They got to get a little more experience. That's all there is to it, and a big, healthy netminder in there as well. But yeah, Trevor, we will shift gears to really what we're coming on here for is the Subway Series. And going into it, you know, the big storylines were, is there juice? Is this series really what it is without Judge for the Yankees, without Pete Alonso for the Mets? To me, going into the series, of course, the Subway Series is big. The two players being out does not change that for me. But this series was more about the New York Mets than it was about the New York Yankees. And last night just proves my point. When Max Scherzer can't get out of the fourth inning, when Francisco Lindor, like he has all year, does not come up big in a huge spot in the bottom of the eighth inning with the bases loaded. And this has been the story of the Mets season. Getting out to a lead, blowing the lead with the bullpen, and then not coming through late in the game. So for me, this series was more about the Mets, or is going to be, because there's one more game tonight. This series is more about the Mets than it is for the Yankees.
Oh, certainly coming in. Certainly coming in. Well, tonight, we're probably going to get a good pitch in the first place. So,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, both starters, Severino, I mean, the story with him is he is not at all.
Not at all. Yep.
Injured list. And again, it showed last night where I have his line right here. He went 4 3/3 with the 7 hits and 5 earned runs.
Yeah.
And the 3 walks. I mean, that's just really bad.
Yeah.
But from there, the bullpen pitched a shutout after that.
Yeah.
They found a way to get in. The bullpen hurt. I mean, Marinaccio, Cordero, Canley, Peralta, Holmes, King, they kind of put it all together. And, yeah, I mean, the Mets, again, with with not coming through, I mean, they were 3 for 15 with runners in scoring position.
Yes, yeah. That can't happen. And that goes back to that big eighth inning. You have Lindor up in a big spot against Clay Holmes, can't come through. And that really, to me, was the game right there. I know with Pham after that, couldn't come through either. But Lindor in that spot, being paid $30-plus million to hit .213 and not come through in those spots, is the biggest problem with this New York Mets team. With Alonso out and the offense playing as bad as it is, this is the guy in the pecking order that needs to step up. And he has been nowhere to be seen, and it's really, really bad, Trevor.
Yeah, and he came in. I saw this. He came in into that bat perfect with bases loaded, 4 for 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is hitting a very dull 212.
Is it 212? It's around there. It's one of those things. Yeah.
I say 210.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not very good. 210. And really, the lineup really looks different without Alonso. And really, Alonso average wise is down from a few seasons.
Yes, but the power numbers are there though.
The power numbers are there, but the average numbers. I mean, it is. It is really surprising to see the Mets five games under 500. I mean, they were 1-9 in the last 10 games.
Yes. And looking back to just the last week, they blow all three games in Atlanta. They led in all the games in until the sixth or seventh inning and blew them. They blow the game last night after being up 5-1. And I know you're smiling from ear to ear because you love all of this, but this is a real problem, and it really goes back to the general manager, Trevor. And this is Billy Epler, who fumbled last year's trade deadline, cheaps out, and then in the offseason does not re-sign Chris Bassett, who looks really good up in Toronto. Instead goes for the older Justin Verlander, who has not looked good. He's been injured too, but he does not look good. And Max Scherzer too, man. This is another guy, $40-plus million for a 4.45 ERA and 11 starts. This is a Cy Young winner, a World Series champion, a future Hall of Famer. He can't get himself out of the fourth inning.
Who's been suspended 10 games as well.
And they had another guy last night, Drew Smith. Now, you seeing this?
Yeah, I mean, it is really really bad. And we did hear Steve Cohen, I don't know, this past week or Monday, the other day, who said they're not going to blow it up.
Yes, he's not gonna. No.
Well, we will see if this slide continues for another 2-3 weeks. Maybe that tune changes. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it definitely, something has to change. And it's if they're gonna be around 500 with the deadline, and we gotta see where they are gonna be in the standings after a few weeks, Trevor, because right now, I mean, there are teams in the National League East, just the East alone. The Marlins are better than them. Of course, the Braves are better than them. Even the Phillies, who got up to that terrible start and they're trying to work themselves back, are better than them right now. They are four games out of a wild card spot. So if they can stay in contention, I'm calling this contention because with the extra playoff spot now, every team's practically in it. But they're fighting with teams like Chicago and San Diego now, who are middle of the pack of the National League, and they're trying to stay afloat. So when they get to the trade deadline, and if they're five games out or four games out, Steve Cohen is going to go into the trade market and try and find guys to fix this team. And there are, at least in my opinion, way too many holes for them to fix to turn it around mid-season. Am I wrong?
I don't disagree. Because
think about it, they need a starting pitcher. They obviously need help on the bullpen, and there are three or four spots on the field that you could say they need help at. Shortstop's one. The outfield, except for center field, is something you need to address.
Catcher.
Alvarez is playing well. If you're going to tell me he's DHing, yeah, you can go get a catcher. But I think they're going to stick with Alvarez and Navarez. But there's a lot of holes on this team. I don't know if you can fix it all in one trade deadline. And that's going to be the thing, Trevor. I mean, if the Mets, with this aging team, are you going to go out and blow up your farm system to try and win this year? I feel like you have to with the all the money you've put in, the commitment you have.
Yeah. But the bullpen, they go on a personal note. We saw old David Roberts, they still pitching well.
Yes.
But it's sub 2. Right. He's still doing it.
D-Rob is one of the few, and I mean few, Met pitchers in that bullpen that you can rely on. And you saw him yesterday in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and the Mets down one. They were trying to, they were warming him up, getting him ready for the ninth inning if the Mets took the lead. And you're right, he's been one of the best relief pitchers, not only on the Mets, I think in the National League too. He's been really, really good, Trevor. But that's what the Mets, go ahead, sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say, I mean, it's been a disaster. I mean, Ottavino's been.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Correa, he hasn't, you know, started two. He's been a disaster. He's got the level fives.
Yeah.
You know, Scherzer has been a big. Verlander has been this disappointment. Drew Smith's now suspended.
Yes.
There's a lot of holes on this team, which I don't see how to replace. I mean, and in the infield, Lindor is an issue.
Yes.
Jeff McNeil, he has been hitting better. Again, he's not that year he hit 300. He hasn't produced that year when he hit 300.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and in the outfield, I mean, there's some holes there too. I mean, Marte's had an okay season. I know it was, you know, too big. He didn't come through in two big spots last night. Mm-hmm. But he's had an okay season. Fam is, again, another okay season, but I think he should be hitting a little better.
Yes, you're right.
I just think there's too many holes to really... Now, I am very surprised that this team is not... And they were one of the World Series favorites heading
into the season. They were. With the biggest payroll in sports history, you, of course, expected a lot more than this. And if I'm Steve Cohen, things change, yes. But I don't really know what more you can do. You can DFA guys. You can send guys to AAA. You can call prospects up. Nothing is working right now. And when nothing really works, I guess you blame the manager. I mean, I don't think Buck Showalter's been great this year, but he's certainly not the problem. The problem has been ownership and the general manager for putting these guys on the field. And that's just my opinion. I know you might disagree, but I don't know how you feel about Buck. But to me, I don't blame it all on Buck right now. I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't either. And certainly we have a bigger payroll than the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yes.
What did you do? That's not something that happens every day.
Right, you're and absolutely right.
To be five games under 500, what are they, nine out of the...
Nine out.
And what do they got in the wild card?
Four. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Buck does not get all the blame, in my opinion. But if this slide continues, I don't know how long Buck's going to be around in New York.
Yeah, but time is running out. It's June 14th already. I mean, how late can you fire your manager? I know Toronto did it pretty late last year, but there's going to come a point where you are tied to Buck Showalter for the year, and you're just going to have to roll him out there and see what happens. But I would bring in new players and I would try new things before you get rid of Buck Showalter. But we'll shift gears to the Yankees now, the other team in the Subway Series, and a team trending in a different direction before Aaron Judge got hurt. And now with Judge out, they're hanging and they're playing 500 ball, staying 10 games over. That's really all you can do with a team. And I mean, Trevor, this is a guy who I have never seen anything like this, where a player in baseball single-handedly runs an offense like Aaron Judge does with the Yankees. I mean, we talk about it a lot, how baseball's a team sport and one guy really can't take over an offense and control them like Aaron Judge has. And it's been magnificent. I've seen nothing like it before.
Me either. And talking about the Yankees themselves, wouldn't you be with all the negativity just by the talking of the Yankees, all the negativity, without looking at the record? You would never think the Yankees are over 500.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I'll give you one better, Trevor. You look at the lineup last night. You give me a record prediction of what the lineup looks like last night. I don't think they're 10 games over. The offense is abysmal.
It is. But, you know, once again, we saw it a few seasons ago when all those players were injured. You know, once again, under Aaron Boone,
yep,
the team, again, finds a way to be, you know, in pretty decent shape.
Yeah. And a lot of it goes to the pitching staff and the bullpen, obviously. But Aaron Boone's having guys like Jake Bowers play really well. Billy McKinney, as of the last week, he's come up from AAA in the Judge absence. He's playing really well, and he'll be fighting for a roster spot. These guys are making it really tough for Aaron Boone to make decisions when Harrison Bader, who comes back on Friday, so that's a huge addition to the outfield. When Judge comes back, hopefully it's very soon. No one really knows how long it's going to be with him with his toe. So we'll see how long that takes. But they're making it really, really tough for Aaron Boone to make decisions when these guys come back. I mean, look at Bowers, and look at Billy McKinney. They are playing really, really well right now. And the decision is going to be really, really hard coming up soon.
Yeah, and I got to give Aaron Boone a lot of credit for getting the best out of his players. And I've been very critical of him.
Yeah,
a lot.
I have too. And I think we're actually thinking the same way here, on the same wavelength. It took me until this year to realize that if Aaron Boone is playing 10 or 11 games over 500 with this offense, the guy deserves credit. And I think you're realizing that too.
Yeah, I mean, he does. I think there's two parts to this. One, how good is the AL East? I mean, the Yankees are 10 games over 500, and they're 8 games behind in a division.
Yes.
If you put them central, we have several games.
Yeah.
If you put them the West, they wouldn't be in first, but they'd be right there. They'd be about, you know, a couple of games back. But you look, you got Tampa Bay 48-22. They get off to that great start. Now they've cooled off a little bit since.
Yeah.
Baltimore 42-24. They've been playing really well. Can they sustain that? I don't think they can. Maybe they can. I think they'll eventually come back down a little bit.
Okay.
The Yankees, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, they had that slump when they were 16-15, but since then they've been, you know, 23-14.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, so, you know, they've been playing well. I mean, even Toronto, who's behind the Yankees, 2 games behind, 6 games over 500, they haven't played bad.
No, but I think they'll get rolling pretty soon. They got off to a pretty slow start, and they were going through some things, but yeah. I think they're going to get going pretty soon, too. This is a very good division. This is the best division I think I've ever seen.
And Boston, who's the only team under 500 by 2 games, I mean, they're not a horrendous team. I mean, they're not great.
They're average. They're a first-place team in the AL Central, I think. If maybe a half game out.
I mean, you know, for a last-place team, they're not awful.
No, that is a very, very good last-place team. This is the best division I've ever seen, hands down. And when all things considered, with Tampa Bay playing the way they have earlier in the year, the Yankees being 10 over and being 9 out, that's just a tough break. The Yankees, in my opinion, are going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division, but they're going to make the playoffs. And you may think, oh, they're not going to win the American League East. They might not be the first wild card team. They're going to make the playoffs. And what happens after that is, you know what happens in the playoffs. Anything can happen. But you cannot count the Yankees out at this point, especially with Judge out. Hopefully they're getting Rodon back pretty soon. It looks like he's going through with no hiccups right now. That's going to be a huge addition, especially with the way the pitching staff is right now. Like we said before, Severino with the 6 ERA through 5 starts. Clark Schmidt, who by the way, has looked pretty good over the last 3 starts, Trevor. He's pitching okay, but he's not your 1-5 starter. You don't want to see Randy Vasquez in your rotation. You're going to start to see this rotation start to take shape pretty soon, especially when Nestor Cortez coming back. And when you can do that, you might see this Yankee team take off. I really think you might.
And what would he take in his 0-500? And Randy Vasquez in his spot appearances has not been awful.
No, he's been really good. I saw him in the doubleheader. Was it Thursday last week? I was at the doubleheader. I went to both games. In game 2, he was fantastic. He really was.
I pulled up the American League wild card. So you take a look. You got your Texas who's playing well. Can they sustain it? We'll see. Tampa Bay, who I think right now is the best team in the American League. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot about that.
You think they're legit?
I think they're good. I don't know if they're as good as their record shows. Again, they played well, but it's hard to keep playing what they did before they started.
You know what it is? They hit. They can really hit. And look at Corey Seager, by the way. The guy's playing out of his mind. They have a good starting front. Their bullpen is a little shaky. If they address their bullpen at the deadline, I think they're a World Series contender. That's my opinion.
We'll see. The Central, I think any of the teams could actually win it besides Kansas City. Uh-huh. I mean, and you look at the AL division, look at the East, and then the other two divisions, you got two of the worst teams in Major League. You got Oakland, who, by the way, has won 7 games in a row, by the way, and is still 31 games under 500, by the way.
Nuts. That's ridiculous.
And Kansas City, who's actually have a worse record now than Oakland.
Yeah, and no one's talking about how bad Kansas City is.
Yeah, and by the way, Oakland beat Tampa yesterday. Just goes to say, any team can beat anybody on any given day.
So did you see what was going on at the Oakland Coliseum yesterday?
I didn't see. I heard about, you know, to sell the team.
Trevor, you have to go back and watch what happened yesterday. It was something I have never seen before. Never. Well,
to be fair, Joe, I'm not sitting here on a Tuesday night and saying, let me watch the Oakland.
Oh, the Oakland. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. But when you see what the fans did last night, they started the inning off with a sell the team chant in the top of the half. In the bottom half, they started the inning off with stay in Oakland. In the top of the 5th inning, they go completely silent for the first batter and then erupt into sell the team chants for a good 2 or 3 minutes, as to where Hogan Harris, the pitcher for the A's, has to change his pitch comm because he can't hear the catcher Perez. So the Coliseum was loud, and then they take the lead in the 8th inning. The place goes nuts, and then they stay there for like a half hour after the game, continuing to chant. It was like something I've never seen before.
And they're on a 7-game winning streak. So.
They
and
are, still, yeah.
And there's 1 game out of 500.
Yeah, that'll be true. they're terrible. They're awful.
You look at the AL pitcher outside of these. You got Baltimore in the first wild card. So are they legit? We'll see how it goes. I mean, a young team, you never know how they're going to do this.
I think they are.
We'll see. The Yankees, they could be taking off. Let's see. Now, another team who's always been there and hasn't been talked about and has won, you know, a lot of AL championships in a row, has the same record almost as the Yankees.
Yeah.
Game one. It's Houston. I mean, I think
they're legit. Go ahead.
You can never count them. I mean, they're, you know, a legit team too.
You're absolutely right. They're in the same boat as the Yankees. They're missing Lance McCullers. They're missing Michael Brantley. They missed Altuve for a large chunk of the earlier in the year. And then look at Yordan today, out 4 to 6 weeks. This is a team that cannot stay healthy right now. But you know what it is with them, Trevor? They'll get healthy in September, and then they'll go on this playoff run back to the World Series. Like, I can see it right now. That's what they're going to do. But this is a team that you cannot count out at all.
And they're still 9 games over 500.
Yeah. Yeah. They are very similar to the Yankees right now. Very.
Yeah. You take a look at the other teams who are just behind Houston. Toronto, 6 games over 500. You know, I think they're starting to find their way a little
yep.
bit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the team who's been playing really well when he's 31 is the Angels.
Yes. Yes. And what's going to be important for them is playing well until about the All-Star break, because if that happens, they'll go out there and they'll trade for players to surround around Ohtani and Trout, and they need to make the playoffs this year. Need to. Ohtani's last year, you can see Trout, I don't want to say slowing down, but he's not the Mike Trout he used to be. So you have to milk these years. They have to spend big at the deadline. If them and the Mets right now need to have the two biggest deadlines, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. And we've seen this in the Angels the last few years, where they have a little spurt in May and June. And then in the All-Star, right before the All-Star break comes, they're just a complete
right.
collapse.
Right. That's why, like I said, they got to maintain it. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at teams behind them. You got Boston, who's 2 games under 500. I mean, they're good enough they can make a little run. We'll see.
Yeah. Their bullpen's going to lose them a lot of games.
Yeah. The team that's going to be interesting around 500 and that could has talent that could make a run is Seattle.
Yes. They haven't played well at all, though. Their offense is inconsistent. Their pitching is very meh. I don't know. They need to have a deadline, too, but they need to get going, because I have not seen anything great for them this year.
Yeah. And then you look in the National League. Yeah, Arizona, can they?
Oh,
yeah,
they're great. They're great, shock. Trevor.
Atlanta's not a shock.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, only 3 games over 500, but Joe did call it out.
I told you. They're better than most people think they are.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, that's not a great division.
No, it's not. But hey, 3 games over.
Yeah. You know, you look at the wild card, the Dodgers. They're in a kind of similar boat as the Yankees and the Astros. Again, 9 games over 500. Few injuries. Few guys missing, but they're still 9 games over 500.
Yep.
They're kind of about as Yankees and Astros. I would expect them, even with a decent record, 9 games, I expect them to go on a little bit of a run.
Yes,
too in a second.
Yes, they will. Yep, you know it. Yep.
Miami's played better.
Oh, yeah. Arias is so fun to watch.
The Giants have been playing good recently.
Yep.
Look at the other team. Milwaukee, I really don't know what to make of them. I mean, they've had a losing streak. They won. I'm not sure about them.
Yeah, very inconsistent.
Philly's been playing better. Cincinnati with these young players, it seems to call the
score. Oh yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
The team I would watch out for, who's just behind the Mets, just ahead of the Mets, 2 games under 500.
Padres.
They got Tatis back off of the suspension. They get the players back injury. I mean, this team with their talent is much better than 2 games under 500.
Yeah, but this is another team that needs to start pitching, Trevor. They could hit. Yes, they'll hit with the best teams in the league. They need to pitch.
Yeah, they do. They do need to pitch, but if they can get the pitching under control, they could be a team
yes.
like Seattle.
Oh, absolutely. They're very similar to Seattle, right? They are very similar. But they got to get the pitch, and you know, if they get into the playoffs, Trevor, that's a team that I think that can make a really really deep run. They are loaded.
Yeah, if they can get the pitching, I mean, they can handle other teams in their division. They can go toe to toe with Arizona and Los
yes.
Angeles.
Oh, I think they can go toe to toe with Atlanta too. If they can figure out their pitching, yes, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the National League.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, very interesting to see what will happen. I mean, I really don't think anybody below the Mets is going to be making any noise. I mean, St. Louis is completely
falling. No, they're terrible.
But yeah, I think it's very interesting to see what happens, because there is some teams in there, and you know what? The way the division's going, you know, the only 2.5 back, you got to give Cleveland a shot to win a division. They have that pitching staff the last few years. They have come up with some decent pitching work.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, if they keep losing, look out. I think even if they keep winning, look out for Shane Bieber to be on the move. Look out. I saw Baltimore as a place. I saw San Diego as a place. There are a couple teams that could be in contention for Shane Bieber.
Do you think the Mets could be in contention?
Yes, I do. I think any team that needs pitching could be in contention.
To put it at that, Joe, I think both New York teams could be in contention.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if the Yankees make that trade though. I don't know if they do it.
I think the Mets need it more, but you can never. You never need.
You're right. You're right. I don't think they will, but the Mets obviously yes. Like you said, the Mets obviously need it more than the Yankees.
The Yankees could be right in the thick of things if something goes wrong with Rodon again.
If you're down to Cole Severino, and I mean, what's going on with Cortez? I don't know what's going on with him. Then you're going to trade for a pitcher. I don't know if it's going to be Bieber, but they might be the market for a starting pitcher.
But I would definitely say the Mets would definitely.
Yes, absolutely. But tonight's pitching matchup is Cole versus Verlander. Verlander's another guy that, you know, just hasn't gotten going yet. But Gerrit Cole has got to limit the home runs from him. And if he can, the Yankees can pull away from this game. They got the edge on both sides of the ball, but pitching especially tonight.
You know, Cole's actually not pitched bad this
season. He is not.
And with the one thing that's helping the Yankees right now with these injuries in the bullpen, that they seem to just have a lot of off days in the month of June.
Yeah, every Monday.
Every Monday. And this week, and then last week, you had the smokeout game.
Yes.
That was out, which is something I've never seen before.
Dude, that what was that like up by you? I'm sure it was worse up by you than it was down here.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And, you know, the MLB set a precedent in 2020, I believe, the Giants and Mariners.
The Mariners, up in Seattle, yep.
Moved the series to San Francisco. Now, obviously, they could have played the series at a different ballpark because they didn't have to worry about ticket prices.
Yes, yeah.
It was just very weird. But, you know, the Yankees have a lot of off days, which has helped. I mean, they had an off day Monday, playing two games, off again.
Yeah.
Thursday. And before I know, I wanted to touch something on.
Yeah.
I'm sure this gave you a lot of people are going to disagree with me. Joe might even disagree with me.
Let's hear this.
But the defensive errors by Gleyber Torres is really becoming an issue now.
Yes. I think something has to be done about it. Say it again?
I think something has to be done about it now. It's just happened.
I don't know what you do, but this is two games in a row now that he's costing your runs. The Sunday night game where he just can't move his feet to back up on a ball. And then yesterday, not putting his glove on the ground to backhand it. I mean, what a disgrace with Gleyber Torres. And listen, he has this track record of being I don't want to call him lazy, but a laid back approach, very similar to Robinson Cano. But you cannot be doing that, especially when the game's online like that. You can't be. You got to show some urgency.
I blame Aaron Boone a little bit for not, you know, the next game benching him because of that, you know, laziness. I mean, he should have been benched the next game because of
that. And what that shows is that is not acceptable on the New York Yankees. That is what he needed to do yesterday. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the other thing too is when he can move to DH. I don't understand why Stanton, who just comes off the injured list, plays DH, takes a day off, then plays DH again. Takes the scheduled day off, DH, postponed game, comes back again, plays one of the two doubleheaders, DHs, DH again, day off, 2 days off in a row, then play DH again, I'm sure tonight. I mean, it's ridiculous. How can playing all this kind of money, he can't play the field? I mean, it doesn't. And for the Yankees, it doesn't put a lot of flexibility in your lineup. It reduces a lot of flexibility.
No, because what it does is, and you saw with Stanton out, they like to play Willie Calhoun. And he's become a liability in the field where now if he plays right field, they pull him out in the sixth inning. So with Stanton out being able to go on the field, you cost your offense.
I mean, Joe, it's, I don't know if you agree, but it's ridiculous. Playing this guy all this money, he can't play the field.
You're right, but he can't stay healthy, though. You know what I mean? This is how they have to keep him healthy. It's sad, but that's what they got to do.
And the problem is, it creates a situation where a guy like Torres, who's costing defensively but has a good bat, where you could, you know, put him in DH to limit the defensive things, you can't do that now because you already have a DH.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you can't, you know, you also, here's another thing, this is my biggest problem with Stanton not being able to play the field. You can't call up Peraza now. Because if Stanton can play the field, you can DH Donaldson or you can DH Torres. You can DH any of the infielders and have Peraza play the infield because he's killing it in AAA. But you can't play him now because there's nowhere to put him.
Yeah. Joe, the one thing I would say is if the Yankees are looking for a pitcher, let's say it's Bieber, one of the top pitchers in the league, and you have to trade Torres, would you do it?
Yes.
I would too.
As long as there's a replacement for him.
Let's just say it's the Mariners struggle. Let's just say it's Luis Castillo. Would you do it?
Yeah, why not? Sure.
You do have Peraza as a replacement.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I need a major league. The Yankees need to add two or three major league bats come deadline. You need at least one infielder. You need an outfielder. And you might need a catcher, too.
You might need a catcher. I mean, Chirino's been injured for a good portion of the season. We'll see.
All right, Trevor, I'm going to give you a trade proposal, okay? We're going to call up the Chicago White Sox, who have been abysmal, okay?
Uh-huh.
Luis Robert and Yasmani Grandal. We'll give him Peraza. We'll give him, I don't know, some starters or something. And Oswaldo Cabrera. You doing it?
What starters?
Randy Vasquez.
Now, to be fair, you're giving up a pitcher, but you don't get a pitcher back in return.
But he's in AAA.
But still, he's pitched in the major leagues.
Okay. Well, you have to find a pitcher to add. You want to add a bullpen arm?
Yeah.
For sure. You doing that? You trading for Luis Robert and Yasmani Grandal?
I mean, I would do it. I mean, we saw what Robert could do when he played against the Yankees this past week. So.
I love him. As long as he can stay healthy, he's great. And I think he might be available. The White Sox might blow this thing up. That's how bad they are.
Sure. I mean, I would do it. As long as there's no Anthony Volpe in the trades, yes.
See, I think we agree with this. I'm sticking him out in the major leagues, right? We're not sending him down?
I stick him out. I mean, yes. I know the kid batting 200, but it takes time to adjust from AAA to – You know,
don't forget, he didn't play in AAA. He played 12 games in AAA.
Yeah, and it takes time to dress from AA to AAA. Yeah. So it takes a long time. And the kid has had a couple. I know his average. The kid has had a couple of big hits.
Yes, two hits yesterday, two doubles. You see, I don't know if you watched the post game, but he's working on something with his stance. The guy is trying to get better. And this is what you do when you have a player who you want to be a cornerstone of your team. You let him figure it out in the major leagues. This is the right decision. People are saying trade him. People are saying set him down. You can. This is a guy you got to play every day.
And he's had a couple of defensive gems as well.
He's a great defender, and he's quick. He steals bases when he gets on. Once he figures out this thing with trying to hit the high fastball, dude, he's going to get going. I love it. He's a great player.
Yeah, I mean, we see some, you know, pieces of talent before. We're just going to take time.
Yeah, absolutely.
What'd you think about releasing Aaron Hicks? I know I was happy about that.
I was ecstatic. Josh Donaldson's next, am I right?
Well, you know, the only thing is there, Joe, is that how much money are you going to be paying people to not play on your team?
Listen, it's not my money, right? I don't care. It's not my money.
Now, the one thing is Hicks has been playing, you know, very well.
He's been playing really well. Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to last. I mean, every player goes through a hot streak.
You see who's playing really well, too, in San Diego?
Who?
Gary Sanchez.
How long is that going to last? even if those guys play better. And what they did in New York, they're just not a good locker room.
No, they're not. They weren't good fits here. They couldn't handle the pressure in New York. You're absolutely right.
I'm not sure Hicks was the best team player in the locker room.
No, I don't know. But I didn't like Hicks. I think he's just going through the motions right now. He's playing well, but he'll come back down to earth. You're absolutely right.
And, you know, every team, every player when they leave New York seems to have about a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And they play really well. I mean, look at Joey Gallo. I mean, he went to Minnesota, and he was hitting – You know, 280 something to start the season, and now he's down to like what, 210, 200?
Yes, he's back to being Joey Gallo.
So, you know, we'll see. I think it's very interesting, and the game's nationally broadcasted tonight. Right?
Yes, Ronnie, only on ESPN tonight.
Only on ESPN, because sometimes now they have it on ESPN, but the local.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're only on ESPN tonight.
Only on ESPN tonight.
Yep. Good luck with that.
And then Boston again.
Yeah, another Sunday night. You know, this is a stretch. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. The Yankees are playing, I think, 27 night games in a row right now, excluding the doubleheader game, because that was a 4 o'clock game, and that wasn't supposed to be a 4 o'clock game. Yes. They're on the stretch of playing 27 night games in a row.
That was actually the first doubleheader of the season, actually, by the way.
For the Yankees?
It was the White Sox one, yeah. They have not played a doubleheader before. And the Yankees have not had any rainouts, I don't think, this year either.
Rainouts?
At least at home.
I think you're right. I think.
Because the postponement, obviously, was the rainout, but I think
the smoke.
I don't remember, because I remember there was 1 year where they had like 10 rainouts.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago. Yeah, let me tell you, I was at the smoke doubleheader for game one. There had to be maybe 4,000 people in the building. It was a great day to watch a baseball game. There was no one there.
Where were you sitting?
I was up with God. Up in the 400s, the 300s. Very, very,
so
very far,
like,
up, yeah.
You were like in like another zip code.
Yes, so yeah. Yeah, I was up with God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but game two tonight, Trevor, before we head out of here, any final closing thoughts?
I think it's a good game. I think we see a better Verlander tonight, the Verlander that we're used to, not today.
I still think the Yankees come out on top tonight. This is a sweep.
Oh, I still do sweep. Too, but yeah.
Get the brooms out, Trevor. Get the brooms out.
The only two games that I do think eventually we're going to see one of these stories where, you know, Justin Verlander did not forget how to pitch.
Yes, yes. I mean, he's battled all the injuries. I think he'll be – will he be better than Max Scherzer was last night?
Yeah, it's hard to be worse than
him. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We will head out now. We'll be back hopefully next week. Hopefully getting to go on a regular rotation now. But good luck to the Yankees tonight, and hopefully the Mets do not put up a nice fight with Verlander on the mound. But thank you, Trevor, for Joe Morales and Trevor Markowski. This has been the MDM Podcast.